You want to know how a servant survives to be an old servant? Keep a watch over my mouth, O Lord, and guard the door of my lips. That's how I've survived. When you're a servant, you don't say what you think to your master. I know there's been times I've had opinions. The time my master said to me, "I want you to plant something in my garden." I said, "What is it you want me to plant in the garden, sir?" "Mustard seed." I said to myself, what schlemiel would plant mustard seed in a cultivated garden? What, have you lost your mind? That's what I thought. But I said, "Where are the seeds, sir? I will plant them. I have opinions. But I keep them to myself, though I almost lost it. Those boys, those two boys. A master is happy. A man is happy when he has one son. When he has two sons, it's a blessing. But have you read your Bible? Cain and Abel, two brothers. Isaac and Ishmael, nothing but trouble. Isaac and Jacob, two brothers. And now, these brothers of my master have made it into the Bible. Right there in Luke, chapter 15. Probably the most famous parable of all. I know the Good Samaritan comes in pretty close, but did the Good Samaritan inspire a classic song? Huh? But our story did. There he was. One day he came up to his father. "Father, grant me my share of the inheritance." Now you understand what he was saying. "Father, you're dead to me." Such shame a father should never suffer. Share of the inheritance. I was there. Share of the inheritance, I said to myself. Why, I'd like to take the jawbone of an ass to that boy. Shaming his father that way. But what did his father do? He sat down and wrote a check. Handed it over to the boy. Just like that. First thing he did was ran to the bank, cashed it in, and then off to a far-off country he ran. Oh, the further the better, I say. What he did to his father's heart. Broke his heart, I say. The poor man was never the same. He'd go outside and watch out over the country, looking at I don't know what. Word came back, of course, trickled back. The boy had blown all of it. Living like a young boy in a big world. Word came that the boy had come to himself. Come to himself, he says. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. He came to himself all right. He was at his wit's end. Came back. The old man was watching. Saw him far off. Something. Could that be? Could it be? It was. And the old man dropped everything and ran out. And I thought, oh, he's going to stop him before he gets back into the house. He doesn't want that boy in his house. I ran out with him. I thought I might grab the jawbone of the ass, but I didn't. But then something funny happened. The old man just ran right up to him. Ran right up to him, hugged him, kissed his neck. I was 30 yards away from him. I couldn't stand the smell of the pigs. But not the old man. Grabbed him by the neck, kissed him, hugged him. Said to me, "Bring the best robe, rings, sandals. Kill the fatted calf." The fatted calf. Do you know how long I took to prepare a fatted calf? months to prepare a fatted calf. We were waiting for a big celebration, something worthy. Kill the fatted calf, he said. And so I had to. I went, got that started. The boy came into the house. There was another boy, the older son. He wasn't around. He came back. I caught him coming in. He said to me, "What's going on?" I said, "Your brother's back." "My brother's back?" "Yep, and your father killed the fatted calf for him. We're having a big party. Might want to go in." But he didn't. He didn't. He stayed outside. Boys, I tell you, did I tell you about two boys? This one also shamed his father, wouldn't go in, made his father come out to him. But we already know how shameless the father was. He came out. He said, "Your brother's back." But the son gave a good argument. "That son of yours," he says, "ruined everything. Took all that you gave him and he just threw it away. And now you're going to celebrate him. And you never celebrated me." And I said, "He's right. Good point." The father said, "Everything I have is yours." And I said, "Oh, that's true too. We have to celebrate. For the son, your brother, my son, was dead and now he's alive. He was lost and now he's found. This is what we have to celebrate." Well, I don't know. All that dissolute living and whatnot. I don't know what got into that boy. Though, I have to tell you, I blamed it on that rabbi from Nazareth. I did. Seems he was going around, hanging out with tax collectors and sinners, other folks like that. People tried to warn him. I thought, I hear he's a glutton and a drunkard, a wine bibber in the authorized text. So I decided I would take a look for myself. So, heard he was around in town, so I went. Big crowd all around him, but you know the advantage of being an old man. "Old man, coming through. Coming through." I heard him. "He's older than Methuselah. Let him go. Get out of his way." Right up to the front I came. And there he was, teaching, talking to the people. You know, good rabbinic stuff. Love your neighbor. A little something about loving your enemy I didn't like. But then, he looked at me. And I looked at him. And I saw it in his eyes. Here was a man who knew the suffering of a slave. Everything I ever felt, I knew he knew it too. Here was a man who had the look of a man who was in a far-off country. And knew that suffering too. The thing is, he didn't look like a man who had to come to himself, though. He was already himself. Lordy, lordy, he was himself. And I said to myself, he called himself the Son of Man, the human one. And I said, the first truly human I have ever seen. And when my eyes locked into his, what I heard in my heart was, "You're free. You're free." Not just free from being a slave. No. Though that was part of it. But I was also free in a way I never thought I could be. To be who I truly am. To no longer put on a face for my master or for anybody. To no longer have to hold my tongue. To speak when God prompted me to speak. And then I wondered. I wonder if my master had looked into those very same eyes. And that was how he was able to wait for that boy and fall on his neck, even though he smelt like a pig. And I wonder if that's how it always is with everyone who looks into the eyes of that one. All of their suffering, all of their bondage, all of their grief, they see it in those eyes. In the eyes of the truly human one. And if they hear in their hearts what I heard in mine, "You are free. You are free." A share of the inheritance. A share of the inheritance of heaven. In the eyes of that rabbi. It's a good story.
Yeah. I think you just turned the recording off.
I just turned it off.